unsaid meaning. You mean they weren't before? Mandrell's smile narrowed a bit.
There was some damage to the myocardium. Very minor. That's the heart muscle.
Jaeger interjected. My heart?
Very minor damage,
Mandrell emphasized.
Caused by the pressure, of course. Stem cell therapy is repairing the damage quite nicely.
Without asking, Deirdre began to push herself up to a sitting position. Corvus, Jaeger, and Dorne all reached into the capsule to help her.
Do you feel strong enough to stand?
Dr. Mandrell asked her. I think so.
How do you feel, Dee?
Corvus asked. She thought a moment, then replied, Hungry.
Mandrell's smile returned to full wattage. That is a good sign. A very good sign.
It took more than an hour of sensor scans and long lists of medical questionings, but at last Dr. Mandrell agreed that Deirdre could leave the clinic with her three friends.
To the galley,
Jaeger commanded, pointing like a general ordering a charge.
I want a real steak.
Her legs felt a little wobbly, but Deirdre went with them toward the elevator that led up to the first wheel and the station's galley. Corvus wrapped his arm around her waist as they strode along the passageway. How are you guys? Deirdre asked. Dorne, are you okay? The cyborg nodded gravely.
My systems are functioning properly.
Andy?
Fine. No more headache.
And you, Max?
Jaeger frowned. Lumbar stenosis. I've had it for years, from what the medics say. Didn't really bother me until we got squeezed by the pressure down there.
Is it all right now? Deirdre asked.
It aches. Mandrell says they can work it out with microsurgery.
As they entered the elevator cab, Deirdre looked into each of their faces. Then we're all okay.
Yep. Pretty much. I'll be fine, Jaeger said, once I tear into that steak.
Debriefing. To Deirdre's surprise, Grant Archer was standing in the passageway when the elevator doors opened at the top wheel. With an expectant grin on his neatly bearded face, he asked the four of them,
Are you ready for your debriefing?
Debriefing? Corvus asked. Now?
Yes, it has to be now, Archer said, starting along the passageway.
Can't we eat first? Deirdre pleaded.
Yeah, said Jaeger. I'm hungry.
Dorne said calmly,
Debriefing is best immediately after the mission, of course. But we haven't had any solid food in days.
Archer said,
Well, I don't know.
But he was grinning even more widely than earlier, and Deirdre saw a twinkle in his eyes that she had never seen before. Feeling confused, she walked with the man along the passageway and quickly realized that they were approaching the galley. Deirdre glanced at her wristwatch and saw that it was mid-afternoon. The galley would be closed. They'd have to settle for prepackaged snacks from the dispensers. Andy Corvus said,
Let's have a quick bite and then we can go through the debriefing, okay?
Archer broke into a laugh.
Why not?
He said, as he trotted up to the galley's doors and slid them open. Almost the entire station staff was jammed into the galley, all of them on their feet. They broke into applause as Archer led the four returning explorers into the galley. The assembled men and women roared and cheered. They clapped their hands together and pounded Deirdre, Corvus, Jaeger, and Dorne on their backs as they stepped into the galley. There were still more people on the wall screens displays, all of them cheering ecstatically.
I guess the debriefing will have to wait,
Archer hollered over the noise of their reception, laughing like a boy at a surprise party. Deirdre felt tears of joy filling her eyes as Red Devlin came up to them, wearing a dazzling fresh white chef's outfit, and led them to a table groaning with food and drink. It was late. The party simply had gone on and on. Scientists from Michael Johansson down to the golden-skinned Dahlia came up to Deirdre and the others to express their happiness at the mission's success. News reporters from Earth and the Moon asked for interviews. Even Deirdre's father, gruff old George Ambrose, sent a message of congratulations from the rock rat's habitat at Ceres.
"You've made the biggest breakthrough since the invention of writing," Johansson told them, sloshing beer from the mug in his fist. "Meaningful contact with an intelligent extraterrestrial species. This is history."
Archer seemed to be floating on air. With his lovely dark-haired wife beside him, he raised his voice above the din of the party and announced,
"We owe these four volunteers a debt of gratitude that can never be fully repaid. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm willing to give them anything they want."
The crowd roared its approval.
"Ms. Ambrose, Deirdre, what can we do for you?"
Deirdre gulped and thought swiftly. "You've already offered me a scholarship at the Sorbonne."
"Right,"
said Archer, smiling amiably. "Could you keep a position open for me until I return? I'd like to work with the Leviathans once I have my degree."
"Don't you think you'll want to stay on Earth?"
It was Deirdre's turn to smile. "I want to see Earth, of course. I want to experience it. But more than that, I want to come back here and learn more about the Leviathans."
Archer's face grew serious.
"Fine. We'll be waiting for your return."
Then he turned to Andy.
"Dr. Corvus, what about you?"
Without an instant's hesitation, Corvus answered,
"I need to develop sensors that can scan the Leviathan's bodies. We need to find out where their brains are and how we can make contact with them with the DBS equipment."
Nodding, Archer said,
"You want to learn how their brains work?"
"More than that," Andy said, "I want them to learn how our minds work. I want to show them the world that they live in, the solar system, the universe."
With a puff of exhaled breath, Archer said,
"That's a lifetime's work, Andy."
"I know."
Turning to Jaeger, who had the petite blonde Linda Vishnevskaya clinging to his arm, Archer said,
"I think I know what you'll be doing, Max." "Building another compression shell for Faraday," Jaeger replied. "Now that we know how deep we have to go to be with the Leviathans, I can make my baby safer and add a few comforts for the crew while I'm at it."
"And get married, too," said Vishnevskaya, beaming up at Jaeger. The engineer blushed, broke into an embarrassed grin, and nodded vigorously.
"What about you, Dorn?"
Archer asked. The cyborg hesitated. Looking around at the sea of expectant faces, Dorn finally answered,
"My wish is to remain here and pilot the missions into the ocean." "Really? That's all?" "It's quite enough," Dorn said. "I've found a purpose in my life. Helping to make meaningful contact with an alien intelligence is more than I had ever hoped to achieve."
Archer nodded slowly.
"Me too," he said softly. "Me too."
Farewell. Andy Corvus walked alongside Deirdre down the passageway where their quarters stood a few doors apart.